Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Our study today will be from this chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, page 968 in the Pew Bible. This is dealing with Paul and his ministry, kind of a defense of his ministry in this chapter. So give attention now to God's word. I, Paul, myself entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am humble when face to face with you, but bold toward you when I am away, I beg of you that when I am present, I may not have to show boldness with such confidence as I count on showing against those or some who suspect us of walking according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Look at what is before your eyes. If anyone is confident that he is Christ, let him remind himself that just as he is Christ, so also are we. And even if I boast a little too much of our authority, which the Lord gave for building you up and not destroying you, I will not be ashamed. I do not want to appear to be frightening you with my letters. For they say his letters are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech of no account. Let such a person understand that what we say by letter when absent, we do when present. Not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. But we will not boast beyond limits, but will boast only with regard to the area of influence God assigned to us to reach even to you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though we did not reach you. For we were the first to come all the way to you with the gospel of Christ. We do not boast beyond limit in the labors of others, but our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel in lands beyond you without boasting of work already done in another area of influence. Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. And let me take you back to verse 5, which will be the focus of our thoughts today. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. That's what we mean when we talk about controlling our thoughts, bringing every thought captive to Jesus Christ. Us human beings are distinguished from the animal kingdom in that we can think. We have the ability to reason. We have the ability to plan and make moral judgments and decisions. And that's different than the animal kingdom. God's given us a mind that can respond to Him. It's part of being in the image of God, actually. And we can both respond to Him and we can reject Him. We can love Him, we can hate Him. We can obey Him, we can disobey Him. Our mind is capable of making those kinds of decisions. Now, this brain that's in our heads is a pretty complex thing. Those who have studied it will say so. It's a little over 3 pounds of tissue, which isn't very much. But that brain actually controls everything about us. It controls all of our nerves, our motor responses. It controls our decisions and actions and all of that. These all are happening in this little brain of ours. And God did put it inside a bony skull in a bunch of liquid in there so it would be protected, and gave us a lot more cells than we'll ever use in that brain. But it is an interesting thing that when those cells are destroyed or damaged, they do not replace themselves. Fantastic things about this brain of ours. But this brain is the one that controls our life. It actually, the thoughts that occur in this brain are the ones that really do determine our life. The amazing interaction between the brain and the body is quite remarkable to note. That is, whenever we're afraid, say we come into a situation where there's fear, the body reacts very amazingly, and we tense up, and the muscles kind of get ready for action. And that's not a happy experience, but it is a protection. It's a safeguard that God has given us, very useful to us. We know, too, that there are psychosomatic problems. That is, what is going on in the brain, what's the thoughts of the brain actually determine a lot of what happens in the body. And this is not only true physically, certainly in the spiritual realm. These are the significant things that we need to consider. And that's what Paul's speaking about in this passage, this fifth verse especially, that we want to bring those thoughts into conformity to what Christ would have, bring them into captivity to Jesus Christ. Now, the situation here is that Paul is being criticized for his ministry. That is, these people are playing sort of mind games and challenging his authority as an apostle in his life. They're saying that he's very forceful in his letters, but when he shows up in person, he's weak and his speech is not powerful and so on. And we can see that as he's being criticized, there's conflict going on. Spiritual conflict between Paul and some of these false teachers, and all of these, this conflict is sort of focused in the mind, actually, their minds, his mind, and the influence that's going out to the minds of others. Now, Satan has always used the mind or affected us by using the mind. If you go back to the days of Noah, for example, when the flood was on, we know that Satan was very active because the world became very, very corrupt at that time. And it's interesting to me to see how God described that. In Genesis 9:5, it says, "The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time." Where was the problem? The thoughts of his heart were evil continually. And out of those thoughts, of course, lead to action, and action then to their destruction. If Satan was able to do that in Noah's day and found that affecting the imaginations of their thoughts was effective in influencing them, he certainly is going to do the same thing today. You can be sure that the attacks of Satan against you are going to start in your head. They're going to start in your mind and in your brain. And we just simply know that from personal experience. And Satan knows that our thought life is perhaps the area of greatest vulnerability in our whole being. And that's where he will attack. Maybe I could demonstrate that in the life of King David. We know the story of King David well. In the afternoon, he was walking on the roof, saw Bathsheba, saw that she was beautiful. His mind reacted with a lustful thought. That's where the problem started. His mind, there was a thought that entered into his mind at that particular moment. And a moral battle begins to then arise within his being. He has the thought, the evil thought, and therefore he has to weigh that and see if that's something he should pursue. He seems to know that she is a married woman. He seems to know that her husband is away. Shall he pursue this or not? Well, we know the story. His lustful thought moved to action, and that action led to further sin and caused his mind to then calculate how can he cover that sin and so on. Adultery moves to murder, and Satan wins a huge victory against this godly king in this particular situation. In fact, there's irreparable damage to David's life at this point, because here we are 3,000 years after this event happened, and we're still talking about that sin. Every time David's life is reviewed, that sin is brought forward and recognized. And it all started in his mind. It started in his thoughts. And Satan was able to get a great victory in that case. Now, when that thought rose up in his mind, he should have rejected it and should have obliterated it from his mind, rather than toying with it and entertaining it, because then it led on to devastating effect in his life. Not only in his life, but bringing much scorn to the work of the kingdom of God. Now, everyone then will agree that the thoughts are a crucial area in this matter of control of our life. And these thoughts are very hard to control. Very hard to control. But with the help of God, I think control them we must, if we are to live a life pleasing to God. As a man thinks in his heart, the scripture says, that's what he is. So is he. Another way to say it is, we are what we think. So whatever's going on in your mind, this is what will come out in your daily life. So let's consider, first of all, the power of our thoughts. You never do anything without thinking about it first. Or maybe I should say, almost never do anything without thinking about it first. The housewife that's planning her menu thinks about what she's going to have before she goes to the store to buy the produce. The businessman thinks over the prospects of a certain venture before he signs his name on the contract. The crook even carefully thinks out, how do I carry out this theft before I break into the back of the store? And that kind of thing. And so however our thoughts go, that's how the actions go that follow. The thought is first, and thus it is all important. People sometimes will turn this around and just focus on the act itself. That is, they sort of feel that the act is the most important thing. I guess we could illustrate this with the Pharisees, who saw the disciples not washing their hands before they went to eat. And this outward action seemed like a very serious thing to them. But Jesus, when he talks about that with them, he says this, Matthew 15:16, don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make the man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts. There it is. Out of the heart come evil thoughts. Then murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander, all these other things. Now the heart in that verse represents the very base of our thinking person. That is, it describes the person really that's in the deep part of his life. And whatever controls that part of him, the thought life, the heart of his life, these will determine his whole life. A writer by the name of Emerson put it this way, the key to every man is his thought. Sturdy and defying though he look, he has a helm which he obeys, which is the idea after which his facts are classified. He can only be reformed by showing him a new idea which commands his own. End of quotation. I think there's an interesting thing there if you meditate on that for a little bit. He has to be introduced a new idea which will control his former ideas and so on. So people are controlled by these ideas that come into the mind. And I guess this is the reason a communist nation will brainwash its young people, because they know that if they can control the minds of these young people, get them to think a certain way, then they basically do have control over the whole person. And other ideologies are the same thing. And that's why Paul says we must take every thought into captivity to Christ. Make that to be under the authority of Christ. And this is our new idea, isn't it? When we come to know Christ and the whole program that he brings into our life, that new idea becomes the controlling one that will eliminate the others. If we can get our thoughts right, the rest of the life will basically take care of itself. Now, this is not an easy thing to do, to get your thoughts right. If thoughts determine our actions, then we must control the thought. And this leads us to our second consideration, and that is the battle for control of our thoughts. We see how powerful they are, so we have to work on bringing them under control. Paul in this passage uses the term warfare. He uses the term weapons. He talks about taking captive. These are all figures of a battle, a spiritual struggle, a warfare that's taking place in our hearts. And anyone that's living in this world knows that we are facing this battle. And this is what's going on all around us all the time. Perhaps I could illustrate that by saying you have the right to life and the pro-choice. Here are two ideas that are in conflict with each other, strong conflict. And they're battling together to gain control. Two ideologies that are at war in the area of the mind and what people are thinking. Another would be socialism and capitalism. If you're following the election thing at all, you're hearing this kind of thing coming all the time. Is the socialist idea right, or is the capitalist idea right, and so on? In the area of family values, the whole idea of sexual mores, same-sex marriage is a big thing on these topic lists today. All of these things are battles that are going on, mental battles that are happening in the minds of people. And on top of this, you have the personal struggle that some people haven't really resolved yet, and that is, should I commit my life to Jesus Christ, or should I continue to hold on to it and control it myself? That's a struggle that goes on in the mind. As the Word of God is brought, that struggle is introduced, and the call to respond to Christ is there. I think in today's world, it's been mentioned, I think, in Andy's prayer, that we're bombarded all the time with things that influence our thoughts. The other day we were watching some program on television, and I just said to Lynn, can you hear the false ideas that are coming through what we're listening to on the tube? Ideas that are just accepted and being promoted to hundreds and thousands of people. And we're waging war. This is a war of the mind that is going on in our society right now. And that's why Paul says, and let me give this in the NIV, we must demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's what we need to do. Demolish these ideas that are out there that are not right. And this means when we recognize a wrong thought that's coming across our path or entering into our mind, rising up in our mind, we must do battle against that and destroy it and rid ourselves of it. And because if you win that battle, you have won the battle of life. Now, how can we do this? This is the last thing we want to talk about a little bit, and that is the keys to victory in controlling our thoughts. What are the things that will help us to gain this control over our minds? Well, the first one I would say is to consciously surrender to Christ and the controlling power of the Spirit of God. Consciously surrender. We said we're in a battle in this regard. Now, this is where the battle first of all begins. By nature, the Bible tells us, and we know it from our own experience, by nature we are hostile to God. hostile to the laws of God. We are enemies of Christ. And if you're fighting as an enemy of Christ, the only way that you can be reconciled to him is to surrender. And so we surrender our mind, we surrender our will, we allow ourselves to be taken captive by Christ. We say to him, I give up. And you can take me captive now, and you can be the one who controls my life, and you can be the one who can direct me. And we must yield in obedience to him. Even though there's that natural tendency to say, no, I want to do it my way, we surrender, we yield. And that happens in the mind, and God really gives us a new mind. This is one of the blessings that the Spirit of God brings to us. He gives us a new mind. Paul, when he was writing to Timothy, said it this way, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of a disciplined mind. God gave us a disciplined mind when we surrender to him. And this is a gift from him that he gives. So when God moves your heart and you begin to say, I've been wrong in this, I must turn and follow Christ. When God brings that to you, you surrender. You give in to Christ and say, you control me. Holy Spirit, live in me and govern my thoughts from now on. And he gives you a new capacity to think. Actually, a new ability to evaluate matters as they come before you. The Holy Spirit does that for us. In fact, Paul said to the Romans, he said, the mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Why wouldn't you surrender to that? The life controlled by the Spirit. And so we surrender control, my control of my thoughts and my plans and all of that. I surrender that and I become controlled by the Holy Spirit. So that's the first thing. The second thing then would be to concentrate on things that are right and things that are good. And that would begin by concentrating and focusing on God himself and Jesus Christ, his Son. We need to spend time with him. We need to fellowship with God through Jesus Christ, who opens the way for us. We need to allow his thoughts to begin to fill our minds and become our thoughts. One of the psalm selections, I think it was in the green book, the little green selection book, says this, I'll sing to the Lord as long as I live. Sing praise to my God while life he will give. My thoughts about him will sweet pleasure afford. For I will rejoice each day in the Lord. So he says, my thoughts about him will sweet pleasure afford. So here he's focusing his thoughts and mind on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he finds that sweet because that's the way God made him. Same thing in Psalm 63. Oh, my God, O God, you are my God, and early will I seek for you. My soul is athirst for you. I think of you thus as I lie in bed and bring you to mind in the hours of night. Since you ever have been my help, your wings are my shield and joy. I think of you in the hours of night. Here's the focus. Here's the concentration. Here is the directing of your mind on God himself and the beauty and the qualities that he gives. And when you do that, amazingly, he transforms you into his likeness. Turn back two pages in your Bible to chapter 3, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. A very key verse, I think, and that we ought to know the concept here. And here's what it says. And we all, with unveiled face, that is, there's nothing covering up what we're looking at here, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. As you behold the glory of the Lord, that is, you focus your mind on God and on the beauties of Him, you are being transformed little by little to become like Him. That's the beauty of what happens in your mind. And then Paul, too, would recommend things like set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Concentrate and focus. Whatever is true, he says, whatever is noble, whatever is right or pure or lovely or admirable, anything that's excellent and praiseworthy, think about those things, he says in Philippians. Think about those things. So here's the conscious directing of your mind to good things, to God and to the things that are righteous and pure and good. Now, I think it's hard, very hard, to drive an evil thought or a troublesome thought out of your head simply by the sheer power of your will. I'm saying that it's hard. It may even be impossible. So how do we deal with it? We substitute another thought, a new idea, into our minds, which then crowds out the old thought or that negative thought that is there. And I think that substitution concept is a practical way of dealing with thoughts in your head. You simply recognize the evil thought or the negative thought, and you drive it away by putting something else in there in its place. Now listen to Psalm 13, where the psalmist does this very thing. He starts out in verse 2, and he says, "How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart?" Well, he sounds like he's got some pretty heavy thoughts going on in his head, doesn't he? All these things I sorrow in my heart. But then three verses later, he says, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me." He's got these heavy thoughts, and he pushes them out of his mind by thinking about how good God has been to him in his life. So focus and concentrate on what is good. The third thing, then, would be to saturate your mind with the Word of God. Saturate your mind with the Word of God. This is without doubt the most effective controlling influence in your thought. Bringing every thought captive to Christ is helped enormously by focusing on the Word of God and God's thoughts. It's a wellspring of righteousness that is in the Word of God. And I would suggest that you memorize passages of Scripture that deal particularly with the area that you're troubled the most. Whatever troubles you or whatever comes into your mind that is an evil thought or whatever, find a verse of Scripture that particularly deals with that particular thought. Memorize that verse, and then when that thought rises or when you're confronted with it, you quote that verse and you use the Word of God as a substitute to transplant the other. The Word of God speaks directly to every thought that will occur in our minds and hearts. And those who hide the Word in their heart find it a powerful tool to eliminate sin. "Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin." You all know that verse anyway. So the weapons we fight with in this battle for control of the mind are really not the weapons of the world, as Paul says, but rather the ones that have power, spiritual power, and that's the Word of God as a primary source. And then the fourth thing would be to simply avoid situations that stimulate evil thought. This is simply a reasonable thing to do. Most of us know the things that are troublesome to us. The thing, you know, what leads you to temptation, what tempts you or causes difficulty in your mind. And we ought to be wise enough to steer away from those things. Just don't expose yourself to those kinds of things. Our minds are like a computer that can recall information. You punch a button and boom, all this stuff comes on the screen. And somebody said to me one time, and I think it probably is true, that you never forget anything that comes into your mind. You never completely forget it. It's always in there. If that's true, we've got to be very careful what we put in, what we expose ourselves to, what you watch on television, what you're seeing on the internet, and all of that stuff. Be careful what goes into your mind, because it's going to be there. And it's going to be recalled by Satan at a certain appropriate time when he might make you stumble. So whenever an evil thought is detected, I think we simply confess it. God, I'm wrong in this. I recognize that. Here's what you said that I should be thinking about. Please correct that in my mind. I think confession is important, because when we do that, we are actually in control of our thought and our mind. So we're involved in a battle for our thoughts. None of us, I think, is exempt from what I'm talking about today. So we need to be equipped and ready to do battle. Whenever the enemy attacks your mind, whether it's temptation, whether it's fear, whether it's anxiety, whatever it is, use the spiritual weapons that God gives you. Use them. Use these keys. Make use of them to help you bring control in your mind. And by God's grace and by God's help, we can take every thought captive and make it obedient to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear God in heaven, we realize the battleground that happens within our own minds. We realize how susceptible we are to the temptations of Satan, how easily he can turn our thoughts away from that which is righteous and good and focus them on evil. So, Lord, help us to be wise. Help us to be careful. Help us to focus upon you and upon your word, upon those things which are pure and lovely and true. Make those thoughts to be our thoughts, that we might become more and more like you as we behold you. So help us in that, and help us in this battle, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.